Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks for this Friday, the 23rd day of October 2020. I'm David Ellis with you until 2 o'clock today, and Dennis Johnson is the producer of the program. Two stories in particular have caught my attention today. One is in relation to the proposal to have the person who has basically quit the position of MP for St. George North, Mr. Glenn Clark, as this country's High Commissioner to Ottawa, and this claim which has been made by Caswell Franklin. It's a claim which I believe Mr. Clark and or the Barbados Labour Party would be responding to at some point in time, but I think it requires some measure of urgent response given what can be seen as the seriousness of the charge which has been made. The other story that captures my attention is one in the Nation newspaper today where the Commissioner of Police is quoted as saying that for all that has been said, they really haven't been able to stop the guns coming into this country. Now, you may recall that there has been so much discussion about the link between guns coming into the country and scanners. But, of course, scanners alone won't be able to do it. They can do a job in reducing the extent to which we are having guns coming into the country. But we also have to look at, the various methods that people employ and the fact that Barbados also has a sea course where people can come in without having to go through the established ports of entry. Well, what is more significant, though, is the conditions, the thinking, the behavior, the attitude that is driving more and more young people in this country, it seems, to want to have a gun to create mayhem. Black lives don't matter here, at least when it's black on black. If a white man shoots somebody here, black lives would matter. But once you have black on black, the respect for life, the respect for limb, there is this attitude of disrespect right across the board. And it is culminating in what we are seeing out there on our streets, and especially what we are experiencing with our young males. We can talk about this and other matters today. Call us at 434-1790. Hello?
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
I'm glad you start on that note, because I wanted to start on the issue about pulling down pollsters. David, when we start going down this road, although it don't always be like this, we do not cut things in the bud, we wait till they spread. Now, you remember about run last month, or early this month, I spoke to you pertaining to if constitutionally the president should be participating in any political meetings platform-wise.
That's the president of the Senate.
In the Senate, the president of the Senate. But I took it upon myself when the Barbados Labour Party was having a meeting in Newbury. And I drove across there after I hear my friend Farley was going to speak. And he and I went into a conversation. And he said he wasn't conscious of it. But then I said, what has he said? But I made him aware. And he said he would look into it. But I haven't heard him anymore on any platform. Now I went into St. George. And I was discussing with some fellas, and they were annoyed about posters taking down. I took it upon myself and went and see Glenn Clark. And I asked Glenn Clark if he is aware of what is alleged to be taking place in St. George North. He said he is aware of it, but he was never accustomed to such behavior. and he don't know where this attitude comes from, because we in St. George don't behave that way. Now, I say that to say this. Now, this is the beginning, you know. If I that way, I compliment Reefer. Now, if the followers of Reefer had reacted and decided to start pulling down the other people's poster, we could find ourselves in a territorial warfare.
And you're really stretching this, because
I'm gonna tell you
finish, but I will answer you. I will answer.
We do not take things in the bud. There's so much guns around. When I was a young boy coming up, following politics, we had a custom that sometimes some ignorant people would pet rocks at meetings. And then the rocks, no. You know, sooner as they start these things, people say, oh, you're blowing it out of proportion. Now, when you did realize, then it happened. Sooner or later, you'll be going to a public meeting, and some ignorant body come up, you get a couple of dollars, and they shoot through the crowd. You may be there as a journalist, and you may get tagged out. Then we going down this road, and certain, in Jamaica, if you walk with a certain color shirt, you are attacked. There's always a beginning of things there. They don't blow nothing out of proportion. I'm always saying that we've got to be cautious and set up things to stop the behavior from spreading like a cancer. What next you think would happen? Huh? Then you got to look at things in reality, David. You can't just blow things out of proportion and telling me about it blowing things out of proportion. It's not blowing out of proportion. That will put some people know we're glad to go to a meeting.
You should pause for breath.
Pardon?
Pause for breath.
Again, pause.
Well, let me tell you something. You've been involved in politics in this country for...
Yes.
For many years.
Yeah.
I am sure that in many a campaign,
you
have heard allegations of posters being torn down. Am I incorrect?
I have not said no, but what I told you...
You said yes.
I said to you, David, why you don't listen?
No, but you just talked to the point where I had to...
You are not accustomed to this behavior.
You just had...
In St. George?
Yes. So why is it that in the rest of Barbados, posters would have been pulled down in almost every by and general election that we have had in recent times, and it did not escalate, but it must escalate in St. George? That's why I say you're blowing it out of proportion.
That is not true. I told you I support
that
the
is a perception.
Confirm, because most of the people in St. George run against each other, and you don't have that behavior. I would invite you to go in St. George North and investigate and stop condemning people.
My allegation is that you are blowing this out of proportion. And I'm asking the question, if you accept that posters have...
You just like Trump. You know what will make it happen?
All right. Now, you see that? Now, that is Trump behavior. That's when you call out the militia and you try to intimidate people for their opinion. I am asserting to you that in the same way this practice has gone on across Barbados over the years without escalating to violence of any sort, as far as I can recall, people may get heated from time to time, but that has got to be in the minority. But for you to come and try now to put this within the context of gun violence is bordering on being irresponsible. That's my judgment. I'm sorry that you left me. I didn't tell you to come out. And I don't want to talk behind your back. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, my brother?
I'm well, and you?
I am blessed. How was your week so far?
Great.
Good. I really was going to get under your skin this morning.
Oh.
But I decided not to. I left that for another time.
Okay.
Because if I get under your skin now, you might not want me to finish my contribution.
Don't worry about that.
No, if I get under your skin now, because I know the rest of the callers are going to laugh with balance there. So I know if I get under your
skin. I'm giving you permission.
No, but you also got to let me finish my contribution when I don't get ordered.
Yes, I'm going to do that.
And that's a promise, right?
Yes.
Good. Now, David, today is supposed to be about 62 days away from Christmas. If I'm right, 30th and 24th, but yeah, 62. You agree?
And what's your point?
So I was wondering, now remember, again, under your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Would we, as brothers, would we be doing what we did last year?
We who?
You and I.
Why do we you last year?
Well, you know, we get some turkeys and chicken, and we put a little 200 in chicken and 100 in the, 200 in the chicken, in the turkey, and 100 in the chicken, and give to the women who used to beat me. Would we be doing that this year?
You and I ain't do nothing last year.
I know the Lego.
You and I, let's set the record straight. You and I have never done anything together. There is no possibility whatsoever that will ever happen. And if this is a figment of your imagination, I would respectfully suggest that you go down to the psychiatric hospital and get an examination.
Now, can I continue?
Yes.
No, you started the program very serious. And the gentleman that was the first caller also went down that road. When you say, when it is a white man doing it to a black man, it matters. But when a black do it to a black, it don't matter. Now, David, you went to the supermarket recently, any supermarket?
They got black on black violence in there.
Oh, Lord, I asked you if you went to the supermarket. Anyway, let me cut the chase. Because I got a lot of things I want to discuss with you. Because obviously, let me have a pleasant day. The way I discuss is that I went to the supermarket.
I think closest I've gotten to down the supermarket is black ice.
The lines in the supermarkets nowadays tend to be extremely long. And when I did my homework on it, I realized that the...
Not in supermarkets I have been to. I've seen the extremely long lines.
Man, yeah, because they've got one, got 15 checkout counters, and they're only working 4 cashiers. You see anything with the banks, too?
Well, it depends. Perhaps it right? depends upon which supermarkets you've been to.
Well,
they're not all like that.
Well, the majority went to. Anyhow, black lives don't matter to black people. Because I said already, and I can say it again, as the caller said, it's only when it happened. My worst enemies, my friends, my brothers and sisters, because of the union, lost over $2,000 had they taken that one-off payment from Fandel. I hear Caswell Franklin spoke on Lambeth. He's always on the ball. But somehow this time he did not do his homework. And when you come into people like you, David, you have to dot your I's and cross your T's. If Caswell Franklin was serious about this country and understood what was going on, he would never have made that remark against
Which
the
remark?
Prime Minister. But the 400 workers that she planned to do with home health. This country right now, David, and it was said on your program not once and over a dozen times already for this year, we suffer from a complex called productivity. You ever hear about that word on your program? How the people in this country is not productive? You ever hear that? Yes or no?
We're not productive enough.
Good. Right now, I went and do my homework because I was told something by two people. I went from St. Philip to St. George, from St. George to St. John, from St. John to St. Lucy, from St. Lucy to St. Andrew. You know that they got a debushing program going on?
I've seen it, yes.
You ever watch the kind of work that them debushing people doing right now? You ever see the kind of work that them people doing? You know that them getting paid less money than the average young worker in MTW and that's produced more work than the average person in MTW? That is what we call production. Don't mind, it might be cheaper.
I want to know on what basis you have concluded who produces more work out of the two.
Look at the ones that are working for government and look at the contract workers.
Not, it isn't something that you could come to a conclusion on just by looking at it.
When you, need... see four, when you see four people sign up and they can't get from one telephone port to the next,
right.
You want me to go now?
You
or you want me to continue?
You know your time up.
Okay, but you have a pleasant and a blessed weekend. And remember, God loves you, and I love you even more.
Oh,
and
my goodness. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Oh boy, fun and games at the start of today's program. Yes, sir.
Yes, how are you?
I am well.
Okay, fine.
Yes, stats man. Let me hear what's on your
this
mind today.
This is a response
today.
On your call. The last thing you was on air.
Yes.
I think I'm not sure if you really understand this thing or if you spoke with. Well, okay, let me just say what he won't say.
Mm-hmm.
Now the caller, I think he said that he named Andy. Thought very pretty and wish you a great day and all a lot of things. But I think he had the COVID information. Now, I remember some time ago, he was saying that the increase that the public sector got in, I think, 2009 was the highest ever in Barbados. I subsequently corrected him. He never started on it again. That was 6%. The increase that he thought that the people got was 6%. 6%. Well, we have an issue now going on, a notion that Miss Tony Moore sell out the workers because she accepted 5%. I think I heard you say she got to explain as well that she refused to take 15% and she went ahead.
Well, she sought to explain it. Whether people, look, my point is, she sought to explain it, and I think when I spoke about it, I said so. Of course, it is whether people buy that argument or not.
But I'm putting the light to it. I'm putting the light to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I heard you on some a previous occasion said that in the salary negotiation, it's just that. It's a negotiation. It's not a done deal. What you put on the board, right? You got it's a negotiation. Now, let me say to you that when Miss the NUPW put 23%, they said because that the government has not paid the work increased salaries for 9 years, actually that is a realistic cost. The BWU put 15%, but you know what everybody is refusing to say? The Prime Minister of Barbados, Mr. Stewart, he said he started at 0%. Why don't you all say this? He said he started at zero. And subsequently, he said he's not even discussing salary increases anymore. Okay? Miss Moore and the BW or and the trade union in particular, they're not celebrating anybody. Because from 1986, okay, from 1986 to 2018, that's about 32 years or so. The public sector only had on six occasions received on six occasions higher salary increases. Okay? In 1986, they received 9%. 1989, they received 8%. 1990,
stats, man, please. I'll get too annoyed,
I'm getting annoyed. You know why I'm getting annoyed?
You could get as annoyed as you want then.
You
go along.
You only want a particular callers.
No, because I'm going
to
tell you something.
Call your program,
I want to tell you something. Sir, let me tell you something. While you are saying that, I also have people who say to me that I stop Dems from talking. And I allow you to talk all over your face. So I don't know what you're so upset about. Are you gone?
My name.
Pardon
but
me?
I know you were referring to me. You were speaking to Alvin some time ago, and you mentioned my name, how you always coming. I came on your phone.
Oh, yes. So,
I'm
sorry that.
And once this week.
Look.
I really didn't want
I
to
am
call
very.
To call, quite frankly, you.
I want to say
I really didn't want to call, but I just want to bring.
I just want to say this.
Balance, right?
I want to say this.
Uh-huh.
It is the first time in all of these years that you have been calling this program and speaking to me in particular that I have heard this kind of behavior from you.
Yes, because I have to.
Let me just say what I think.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of you who call to support the BLP some days and others who call to support the Democratic Labour Party some days, who for some reason believe that you are untouchable.
Man, no, not me. Don't wait.
Who somehow believe.
You just said to me, right?
Man, I finished. Let me land. You will have ample time to respond to me.
You lie. Wait, you only directed me.
Some of you seem to believe.
The issue is not me.
That you must be able to speak as you like here, unchallenged. But I want to tell you that I don't understand it that way. I think there are a lot of people who listen.
You're just like wording me though, really.
No, but give me a break. There are a lot of people who listen to the program from the point of view of trying to hear differences of point of view. And therefore, that's what we are about. Now, when I challenge you on the basis...
You don't challenge me about anything. You stop me from talking. You don't challenge me. Because I was giving you six instances where the public sector of workers...
I am here to say to you, this issue is about the concept of people feeling or making the allegation that somebody has been sold out. That is what the issue is about.
Well, listen to me.
You're coming with figures. You're coming with figures, but I'm coming with a simple concept.
Let me put the concept to you.
Don't get so annoyed. Because I can tell you something.
But you're diverting me, man.
I am diverting you. When you finish, I can put the point to you.
I have not finished. I was giving you facts. Anybody could check it.
What are the facts?
I show you where the years where the public sector of Barbados receive more than 6%, 5%. In 32 years. In 32 years, that's the point that I'm making. And I said to you...
What is the point? I don't understand.
You can't understand because you tried diverting me.
Explain.
I'm saying to you, right? For the second time, because I said this already. The notion that the BW, you or the trade unions in general, sold out the workers because they accepted 5% salary increase is not true. There's no evidence to support it. When you're at a negotiation table, you do just that. You negotiate. So you don't come with a figure. It's cast in stone that you have to get this figure. You look at the books, and the next thing you said...
Before you finish attacking all these angles, I want to respond to that point. What is the basis for people making the charge that people have been sold out?
Because they have no knowledge.
I want you to let me speak. If you don't let me speak, I will terminate this conversation.
But that's right.
All right? Because you have had your say. But once I start to speak, you must butt in and stop me from talking. The basis of people feeling as though there's been a sellout is that you begin at one figure, which is seen as a higher figure, you reject whatever proposals have been put to you by the government. The government changes. And almost immediately, you have accepted a lower figure. You then move from that to today being a candidate for the Barbados Labour Party. That is the basis, as I understand it, for people to be saying that they feel as though it was a sellout. All these statistics that you're bringing do not mesh with that particular charge. That is the charge that I hear. So talk about that.
Yeah. You finished?
Yes.
Now, you know that there's something named impression and something named a fact? You know that, right? What you're saying about the government put thing on the table. The DLP at the time, Mr. Stewart was the Minister of the Civil Service. He's the body that's supposed to deal with negotiations. What figure did he put? Zero. Zero. He said at one stage he's not talking about it anymore, so then the figure wasn't put on. And I hear you said last time when you spoke, that's what made me call today to speak to you specifically, because you are saying it. Not a caller, you are saying it. That the economy weren't bad enough, and some people are saying, nah, the economy were ever bad. Let me just tell you, this, right?
In all of this, I have to be logical and reasonable. And I'm saying to you that as any reasonable and logical person in the country, that is how it appears. That on the one hand, you are saying that it was not good enough that at the time.
You say gone back to that?
But that's what I've said. That's what I've seen.
I just dismiss it out of hand.
Well, you can dismiss anything, Sats man. You can dismiss anything.
Not me. The facts. The facts. God,
I want you all to know, people like you, to understand this.
Yeah.
I think for myself. Mm-hmm. I have to tell BLP and DLP people that on a regular basis. No, let me say to you, I make it clear to you all.
Mm-hmm.
I come into what I would consider to be differences of opinion with DLP people and BLP people, largely because when you all have your particular views, you feel that everybody else must accept it. I don't accept all of it.
There is a fact. Look, you don't argue over facts. You just check them. You don't argue over facts. Just check them. Listen, the you saying the particular BW, the way you're not talking about NUPW, who put 23%. Now, let me just say this to you as well, right?
But who says that? Who says
mm-hmm.
that people don't feel the same way about the NUPW?
No, talk about Ms. Moore.
That's her.
Barbara's work. You and the NUP represent the majority of civil servant workers.
I am going to suggest to you that I hear people who have made the argument in relation to both of them. The difference is that many people suggest that it is made, the argument is stronger in light of what has now happened with Ms. Moore's membership of the Barbados Labour Party.
It's not a lie. You know, come on, you got to deal with reality. Look, you know that I hear some of the people said, right, that she, now they try their best, the same McDowell and Ms. Moore, they try their best because the Prime Minister obviously wasn't giving any salary increases. They tried for a one-off lump sum salary. The Minister of the Civil Service is the Prime Minister Stewart at a time. He didn't even turn up to 90 meetings. Officials from his ministry went, and some $40 million was put on the table. And UPW members said, no, you got to carry up. Would you believe, right? You would say that the people of Barbados accepted the default. You know when the Prime Minister made her first budget? When she increased the salary to 5%, you know how much that cost the government? $60 million.
Now what that has to do with the issue?
The board.
What does that have to do with the issue that you called to talk about today?
That is it. That's clarity. That is bring the truth to the forefront.
As you just said, at the end of the day, that is a subjective assessment.
Subjective,
which
is not the truth.
Is based upon a person's perception of what has taken place. I have put to
truth.
You the perception.
Yes.
All right?
But it's not.
And the
truth.
Perception is based upon the chronicle of events. You can determine whether, in your judgment, is the truth.
No,
and I've listened to you.
No.
I have listened to you. I've given you ample opportunity to put your point of view. I have given you an alternative perspective. So we have these two positions to talk about. All right? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Morning, Miss Ellis.
Yes, morning.
You would happen to know the name Roy Gilchrist?
That was a cricketer, wasn't he?
Yeah, from Jamaica.
Yes, a fast bowler, I believe.
Yeah. in his day, when he got a ball at you and you hit him for four or two fours or a six, you know what his next ball used to be?
A bouncer?
A beamer. Or something, so.
Yeah?
Yeah. He would bowl a bouncer, but he would also bowl a beamer ahead or something like that. he was dismissed from the West Indies cricket team years ago for bad behavior because he got his wrangle on the wicket and he took up one of the stumps to go to lick up the batsman.
I didn't realize it was that bad.
that's one of the reasons why he was dismissed from the West Indies cricket team. I've seen one or two BCL matches that happened too.
Yeah.
Now, I said all of that.
Cricket was supposed to be a gentleman's game, and it wasn't supposed to come down to that.
But he was far from that. I think he went back then to Liberty Hills or something. He was dismissed from the team, and he had to go his way because they couldn't tolerate that kind of behavior.
Okay.
I said all that to say the statement that was made at the political meeting was probably said in the wrong place at the wrong time. As far as, you know, any idiot could play cricket.
Yeah.
And then it came to my mind that I associated that with one or two local cricketers, I wish I wouldn't name at the moment, that have that sort of
mentality.
Pardon?
Mentality.
Yeah. They have that kind of anger in them when they go to play cricket. And you hit them for, you know, a couple of boundaries, they tend to want to bowl a beamer at the head or something. In the same manner as well, too.
Fast bowlers, many fast bowlers around the world carry that kind of thinking, though. I mean, that doesn't mean that they're idiots. They're brilliant people in their own right. But when it comes to the game of cricket and how they are going to respond to how a batsman deals with them, many of them will tell you that there's that streak that lingers within them. They may not bowl a beamer because that's considered to be really not the way to
deliberate.
Do things.
It would be deliberate.
But, well, beamers... people frown on fast bowlers bowling beamers at batsmen, but the bouncer, for sure, has been used effectively over the years to do that.
Yeah, a bouncer within limits. But, you know, what I'm saying is that some of these guys that used to play cricket had that mentality, and but when a cricketer goes to the extreme to say to pull up one of the stumps to come to assault the batsman, that's a completely different thing. So normally, as a bit, you say, well, he's an idiot or you know, that kind of behavior existed. But I'm just saying that statement could be correct in some areas, but not, it was inappropriate at the time to be used, you know, at a political meeting. I think so.
Well, you know, the truth is, if you've listened to political meetings over the years, so many things were said in the past that wouldn't get away today. The only difference, and a big difference, is social media. That somebody can actually take the video, take out that piece, and then say, look what has been said. Listen to what has been said. And this can be peddled repeatedly. But you know as well as I do. I mean, if you know about Roy Gilchrist as a fast bowler, then you know about political meetings that have been held in this country over the years. I mean, who was it that had promised that they were going to put a C in St. George? Somebody is alleged to have done that. I mean, if that had been done on a political platform back in the 1950s or the 1960s, and they had social media then, but I think you would have been seeing clips of that all like, no. You understand? So,
well, I don't know who it is, but it was always mentioned that there was a sea or a river going from the back of Border Hall through that canal right down to the Carinage. I don't know if you know that.
What's that you said?
there was a river going right down from the back of Boarded Hall right down into the Carinas many, many years ago.
Okay.
That's what the geologists have said.
Yeah. All right, sir. Well, thanks for calling and sharing that bit of information with us. Others are providing information on Gilchrist. He said that Roy Gilchrist told Tony Kozier that he never bowled to any batsman that could bat. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. I have 2 points to raise with you. One to deal with blacklisting, and the other one to do with the cave in St. Thomas. But I would like you to allow me a minute or two to address something that...
No, you're saying that means that you got 3 points. That doesn't mean that two. That means you have 3 points.
But for certain, my 3 points will not take the time that the statsman took. Now, I sit here just now, and this is where you say the third point came to being. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I heard the statsman on another station. Can I have time to listen? And I keep asking the statsman for weeks now to help me with the foreign debt, 2008, 2018, and present. He spoke for about 15 minutes, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Not cross enough, like what you just tried to ask him a question that aggravated him. He was allowed to read and read and read. And then he even decided
Well, you should be the last person to talk because you also come, you have a different political bias, but you are no different sometimes in the way that you try to control things here.
But I ain't say control.
You should really be the last person to talk.
I ain't say he control nothing. I never say he control nothing because all the years I hear Statsman is allowed to talk freely. This morning, besides John Davil on CBC, he's the only moderator ever pulled up. That man has come on the air and speak freely.
Let's move on to what you have
as your agenda items. Mr. Ellis, don't call me because you're not changing. What I'm saying is I heard him on that station that morning too. And he decided to go after a program that I listen to every...
Alvin, I am asking you to move to wrap this up and move on to your substantive issues.
But listen to what I'm saying.
Just be guided by me. This is not something... No, I don't really believe that this is something that you need to spend time on.
I am talking about Andrew Mason's program. I heard him being critical of Andrew Mason's program.
Is that the main issue that you... Is that the issue that you wanted to call about? Because you need to... If you take time with this, you're going to lose the time on the other one.
Well, let me lose time.
Okay, good.
He said that Andrew Mason's program is not for Barbadians no more. And I agree with him. But I would like him to know that the program is called Mason and Guest. Let me get to my point now.
I thought you told me you were not going to go into these other points because you wanted to finish on this one.
Finish on what? Mr. Ellis, if you don't want me saying this, just tell me.
It isn't that. I don't want you, honestly, to come and waste precious time. That's all I'm asking you to do. To bear in mind that there are other people who want to make a contribution, and there are people who listen to the program. That's all I ask you to do. You say you got 2 points. I'll take one. Take the most important of the two. The more important of the two.
Miss Ellis, you have a good morning.
Well, oh my goodness, you get vexed. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Miss Ellis.
Morning.
I want to deal with the third page of today's Nation. This looked like, to me, like a headline I've seen before. Police playing catch-up. And this is to do with the arrival of guns, or the belief, the arrival of guns in Barbados, and how they arrived. Under that, there's a smaller three paragraph input. U.S. teases Barbados-bound shipment, and these were found within the auto parts of a vehicle as well. Now, David, I'm of the belief that this situation of guns in Barbados is not only, it is serious, because when you look at it, there's a percentage of colored Barbadians who have found themselves involved in this warfare, and they've locked off for life. And there's also a situation where there's some Barbadian families who are mourning the loss of a relative to these guns. The whole thing about it is that we cannot keep saying that customs are responsible for the arrival of guns in Barbados. I believe that the same way that we have observed that the U.S. seized ammunition, that whatever equipment they use to seize, to find the ammunition to be shipped to Barbados, that we are either lacking or we should have one here, and we don't have one here. Now, a lot of these guns on the road are probably, I believe, as he said in the article, the Commissioner of Police said in the article, that they've been able to pull in 79 of these guns over 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Now, I'm sure that there are lots of people out there who are concerned about what he's saying in relation to the guns coming to Barbados. But there's some loopholes that need to be stopped. And these loopholes are loopholes that the average man in the street know that these guns don't come in by no major importer. These guns land in Barbados as a result of a sign to some person. I also believe that somewhere along the line that when you look at the amount of, well, I got to be fair, when you look at the amount of warehouses that allow cargo to be unstuffed on location, this is something that needs to be looked at. This is something that needs to be thought of, and this is something that I believe should refer back to the port, where cargo in a container should not be left to the warehouse of which is assigned to be unstuffed. Because in some cases...
Well, you know, Mark, in all seriousness, I think if you're going in that direction, you have to be able to establish that we have had significant cases of guns being found in those circumstances. If you can prove that, then you can move to the next level and say it should be stopped. But you got to recognize that there are a variety of ways. People have been known to bring guns in here disguised as car parts and that sort of thing. I mean, there are various ingenious ways that people are doing it. Why is that? There obviously is a demand. And who is at the center of this demand for guns in the country? People, law-abiding citizens who got gun licenses, walk about this country with a degree of, you know, concern, because, I mean, they seem to be under so much pressure to prove that they are protecting their firearms and that sort of thing, and that they are legally entitled to carry. But then you have a whole set of other people here who don't seem to have that concern at all. Something is wrong about the way that we are dealing with this. I don't care what all this talk that's being put down. At the end of the day, you got to look at the results. The results are showing that we are failing in this regard. Full stop. So we got to be asking the question, what modifications can we bring to the way that we are trying to pursue the matter?
What I feel, Mr. Ellis, and this is from a layman's point of view or an observer's point of view. If you look at the police breaking through charges, gun charges over the last couple of months, murder charges, you would find that there isn't one person that is charged for the murder. There are four, five, or six people charged for a murder and a gun involved. So somewhere along the line, they said that to say this, that since that is the case, there should be enough evidence to prove to you that the guns go in a particular direction when they come to Barbados.
Well, I don't know what that particular direction is. All I know is they ended up in crime. That's all.
I mentioned earlier that it is hurtful to think that black families are the ones who, are paying the price at both ends. Either paying the price in terms of incident.
That's a very important message that we need to stay focused on that message, that it is black people who are suffering in this country as a result of this behavior. I am one of the people who believe that we spend a lot of time on what my friends and others will call symbolism. But it is in areas like these that we need to spend more time. I look at the paper and I see all that has been done to celebrate the life of the man who lost his life the other day in the circumstances in which he lost his life. You know, there are so many people who have been pained by that. But across the length and breadth of Barbados, there are so many people who can't get no psychological assistance. Nobody ain't going to them and giving them 4 weeks or 5 weeks of any counseling or anything like that. They got to cope with that all on their own. These people, many of them have children who are also suffering. And you know, it isn't only the children of the victims who are suffering. The victims, the children of the perpetrators are also suffering. The relatives of all of these people, there is a tremendous amount of pain in the country. And we're talking around it. If something major happens, you get a surge of interest, but then that interest dies and the society becomes numb, increasingly numb to these types of experiences. We have a problem. I thought that when we started to talk about all this Black Lives Matter and we want to move Nelson and we want to do this and we want to do that, that we would also have been taking this opportunity to try to awaken people to the importance of saving Black lives in Barbados. But we're not doing that. We are interested in distractions. That's what we want more than anything else. Distractions. Because once you do that, you are able to satisfy your personal or your political interests. And that's the end of that. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning.
Mr. Ellis, I want to make 2 points. I want to revisit a subject I spoke to you about Fridays ago, which is Rose, Cutting Road. They went the Monday and they pelt some hot mix in the hole, and by the Wednesday it was out. For the best, it pains me to see how MTW do work these days. Nobody go and screw out the hole or take out the debris, and whether it have water or not, they pelt the hot mix in it. They went back since then and put in some more hot mix. I passed it yesterday. I did not check to see if it is still doing good. I also invite you, Mr. Ellis, to pass through Cutty and Salter Sanitary Road and see the condition there and let Barbados know whether I'm telling lies or not. Because as a youngster, 3 years ago, you could have driven through that road, and when you finish your journey, you would have got a PhD. And that is a pothole dodger, but you ain't got no way to dodge now. The second thing is a man that was talking to you, and sound like an old man to me, about the negotiation, and the Prime Minister say you start at zero. Over the years, and I've gone to many negotiations, Mr. Ellis, I've never seen a Prime Minister or a Minister of Finance or any minister in the negotiation room negotiating, right? It is always the unions and people who are observers. My memories about that negotiation, I remember when the Angela Gollop negotiated, you go to 4 meetings before she moved on zero. And then you take time out and you stop him. I wanted him to go through, and it began from 1986. But I want to remind him the highest salaries I ever was given in Barbados is back in 1976. When the then, and you can do your research, when the then GS of the NUPW asked for 100%, Barr went to Parliament and gave 50%, 35% in the first year and 15% in the second year. But it seems to me that he feel comfortably wake up on mornings to feel comfortable and get a joy of lane and bring it down the party of that is listening to party of his choice and bring it
down. Ah, I prefer to say those things when a person is here to defend himself. But you have your opinion. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Welcome to the program. You're on the air. It's 10:58. Hello?
Morning, sir.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah. One is the roundabout at Warrens. I use that roundabout.
Which one?
The one by the gas station.
Yes.
That you turn off and go into H&B Hardware Complex.
The dangerous one.
Yeah. When I want to go into H&B Hardware, if I come down the University Hill, I go up to the corner and I turn left and go in. It is when I come out. That I don't know how the authorities can see that. That is always an accident looking for somewhere to happen. I have seen so many myths on that area already. People come down the University Hill, they want to go straight. And no one signals with the indicator. And when the person think that you want coming down the hill, going up the road, the cross in front and go through. I feel more safe when I go into H&B Hardware to come out that same road and just join the traffic as it going up. I don't know why somebody can't see that. That is the safer way on that road. I can't see that. Anytime you come down from the University Hill and then you come down from Simpson Waters, that's a death trap. If you continue up and going, when you come back the same way, that they should not make that road a one-way road, but make it a two-way road. You go in and come back and join the traffic and go up the road and come back down. I think that's the most safe. I feel more safe with that. Every time I have to use that place, somebody get the creeps.
Yeah, because you have a problem being able to cross over into that section that will take you, if you're coming from the gas station.
Yes.
The problem is crossing over to the other side so that someone who is coming from the northern side doesn't slam into you.
That's a serious point, and I think that you should go up the road, turn in, and come back up the same way. When you come back, you just come up and join the traffic.
When you're coming out,
yes,
you still got a problem there, because sometimes you have to wait forever to be able to turn left.
Well, I feel more safe there than going down that, because I feel more safe in that area. Believe me. And I think that the authorities should look at it. That's a death trap around that corner.
Yes, all right. Thank you very much.
Number two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I heard yesterday a Barbadian priest living in the state somewhere, calling and say he was saying that the Ten Commandments are not relevant today. I believe that is why there are so many churches, Anglican churches, beautiful edifices as for churches in England, in Spain, and parts of Europe that they're using today. Nobody goes to them.
But why did he say so? Did he not back it up? Because
listen to me.
I thought a lot of churches. I've heard a lot of people who are church people say that the Ten Commandments are not relevant today. That the New Testament.
Yeah, that is true. But hold on. But that is what I'm saying. That's what they say. So they must be among the ones that believe that. That's why nobody don't go to church in England. But there is a church. There is a church that believes that the Ten Commandments are relevant, and that church is expanding all over the globe today.
Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Do you accept that the Ten Commandments are embraced by the two commandments of love God and love your neighbor as yourself?
Yes, because the first four... The first four represent your love to God, and the other six represent your love to your neighbor. So the two covers the ten.
Precisely.
That's all it is.
So there is nothing to quarrel about?
I don't want to go on any day. The debate. I just say to you
that because if you love your neighbor as yourself,
you're
going to do the things that are demanded of you within the ten.
Well, that's the question. That's what the commandment says. But what I'm saying is that those who believe that it is not relevant today, that's why the Church of England is collapsing in Europe and in England. But I say that there is a church that believes in the Ten Commandments and is relevant today and it will be relevant till God comes. And that church is expanding all over the globe.
I'm not going to ask you which one it is. Thank you very much. Don't the brass tacks. Politics and religion, these are two areas that people are encouraged to stay away from when it comes to debate. But, you know, it is fodder for people who come to this program Down to Brass Tacks.